With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome into the Tighten Up Podcast on the AZ Sports Podcast Network.
I'm Jack Gentry alongside my partner, Austin Huff. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Jack A. Gentry. He is at Austin Huff. We are the Tighten Up Podcast. Go give the podcast a follow on Twitter, at Tighten Up Pod. And on Instagram, our handle is at Tighten Up Podcast. We are under the A to Z Sports umbrella, so go give them a follow across all social media platforms as well.
This is Sode number 50. The David Thornton or Rocky Boyman of Sodes?
I'll allow it. I'll allow both of those.
All right, cool. Cool. Awesome. Half a hundo. First of all, thank you to all of you guys who listen to this every week. We appreciate each and every one of you. We love the little community that we're building within the Tighten Up Podcast, that all of our Tuppers out there. Like, we love what we've got going, and we're excited for this upcoming this offseason, obviously, but like, you know, the next season, like, it's only going to grow stronger and bigger, and that's all thanks to you guys. So I feel like I just like had to say something there, that we've now reached half 100 episodes.
Yeah, it's half a century mark. I mean, if you've stuck with us 1 to 50, we love you. If you just hopped on 49, hey, we love you too.
Yeah.
Keep listening. We've got a great guest this week. We're going to continue to have those over the off season. And there's a bunch of news we get to hit on this episode. Yeah.
That's right. We're joined this week by Joe Dubin, WSMV News Channel 4, Big Joe on the go. He's so fun. This is his second time on the podcast. He's just fun, and we could literally talk to him about anything, and we kind of do this week, to be honest with you. But we do get into a lot of Titan stuff, including the fact that John Robinson met with the media, and kind of like a little surprise media sesh with old JR, and he hits on a lot. JJ Watt, Isaiah Wilson, is there a priority for an edge rusher this offseason? We're going to get, Jack and I are going to just get into all of that this week. And plus, we're going to maybe share our favorite memories of the Chris Doyle era in Jacksonville.
Oh, man. That's going to be fun.
Gone but not forgotten. And we've got an old friend alert, Pac-Man Jones back in the news. What year is it? Actually, it's not that. It should be news whenever he's not arrested.
Yeah, he's not in the news for donating to a charity. I know you guys all were thinking that.
Yeah, spoiler warning. Yeah, he didn't build any houses with Habitat for Humanity. But no, we got a lot of fun stuff in store. So you know what? Like, let's just stop talking about it. Let's just go ahead and get to it. With that said, let's talk tight.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when.
What is up, Flameheads? Welcome into the Tighten Up Podcast. Today is February 17th, 2021. And you know what? The Tennessee Titans said, you know what? Screw our Wednesday news dump. John Robinson said, I'm meeting with the media before the Tup Boys record their podcast. And we've said it from day one. JR is a real one. John Robinson, it's the reason we say in JR we trust, because he has our backs. He met with the media before we started recording, Jack.
Yeah. How far has he come? You know, from our early days where everything was dumped on a Wednesday to now. Hey, it happens on Tuesday afternoon at 12:15. And he hit on just about every hot topic this offseason. I mean, you mentioned him off the top, JJ Watt, Isaiah Wilson. Edge rusher. He talked about Shane Bowen. There's a ton of stuff that we're going to hit on. But do you want to go ahead and jump into the JJ Watt watch? Are we calling it Watt watch or JJ watch? What are we calling it?
JJ Watch.
Okay. I like that.
We just put
a CH on the end of JJ Watt.
Yeah, you just put another T in watch. So it's just JJ Watt.
Okay. That's perfect with me. I like that.
It doesn't have the same ring as Clowny Watch, which nothing ever will, in my opinion, just because I love
Panda Watch. I like the way Panda Watch rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, Panda Watch is nice. Panda Watch is, it just sounds fun, but the contents of it are anything but.
Yeah, the end result's going to be pretty upsetting one way or the other.
So John Robinson meets with the press and got to talking about J.J. Watt. And this has actually happened since Jack and I have recorded our last episode. So Jack and I really haven't even talked about it amongst ourselves. So I think I'll start here. John Robinson basically dropped a little tidbit that he actually worked out Watt when he was still with the Patriots. So when he was scouting, you know, when he was a scout with the Patriots, he actually worked out Watt. So he has that familiarity with him there. But then also Robinson also confirmed that he's been in contact with Watt's like agents or representation or whatever you want to call it. So meaning that the interest is there, like that to me right there is a win. Whether you are for J.J. Watt or you are against J.J. Watt coming to the Titans, that is good news. Just the fact that the Titans are putting out flyers, just saying, hey, someone's available. A former all pro is available. Let's kick the tires, if you will. Jack, I don't know about you, but I think I'm on team bring in J.J. Watt.
So initially when I heard the news, I wasn't. Just because, you know, Watt's 32 years old. He's going to be 32 when the season begins. He's missed 32 of the Texans' 80 games in the past five seasons. That's 40% of the time he's been off the field. But then I started looking a little deeper. I said, okay, you know what? He played 16 games this past season. He's got experience with Vrabel. There's a familiarity not only with Vrabel, but like you mentioned, with Robinson in the front office, which makes me think it could happen. Not only happen, but work. You look at his numbers last season, 5 sacks, which would have ranked second on the Titans, only a half sack behind.
Well, hang on.
5 sacks, but that would have, he would have finished right behind Landry, who had 5.5. He would have finished first on the team in tackles for loss. He had 14. Landry had 10.5. He would have tied for the lead in forced fumbles with Jayon Brown. 2 forced fumbles. Watt had a pick six. And this is the most impressive eye-opening stat to me. 7 passes defensed. That is tied with Kevin Byard.
All right, stop, dude. Like, okay.
The productivity is there even with these injuries.
Is the productivity there? I can't even say that word. Is the productivity there for NFL standards or for Titans standards? Because like 5 sacks in a 16-game season, it's not great. And I know I'm kind of arguing against my own point here. Like, I want J.J. Watt to come in, but it is. And you actually brought up some good points about just like his health. Oh, I saw on Twitter you were tweeting about like how, what, he's only played like 32 of his last 80 games.
32 of 80. He's had torn pectoral. He's had that back problems. I think in 2016 that he had to have 2 surgeries on him. Back surgeries are very significant. Yeah, and they definitely play a role. Look at Tiger Woods. You know, Longoria had to get his fused together. I mean, it's the injuries are reason to be concerned, but also the production this past season, I'm confident in. And look, he's not going to be out there for 100% of the snaps on this defense. He's going to be he's like Big Joe was saying. You'll hear him later. He's going to be mainly focused in rushing the passer. And I mean, Titans fans have to realize that. There isn't a perfect solution out there. Shaq Barrett would be the most perfect, but at the end of the day, I think Tampa Bay is going to do what they can, manipulate the salary cap enough to bring him back. You know, you don't let a guy like him walk. So the options out there, which all would be upgrades.
You're looking at
Carl Lawson, J.J. Watt, Yannick Ngakoue. Who am I missing? There's a few more guys.
Judon,
Matthew Judon from the Ravens. They're all going to be upgrades, and
yeah, that was the thing. You and I were talking about like potential names, like who's even out there available for the Titans. And literally every name we said, we were like, oh yeah, he would look great in 2-tone blue. That'd be awesome. And even J.J. Watt announcing saying he was being released from the Texans. You and I talk about this all the time. Whether the person makes sense in Tennessee or not, we always, always immediately think, what would they look like in 2-tone blue?
Every time.
Like as a Titan. Like, even if it's like a quarterback, like if Deshaun Watson comes available, we'll be like, oh, what would he look like in 2-tone blue? Even though, like, we're set at, like, the Titans are set at quarterback. They don't need one. But it's like, that's the first thought that comes of, I think, in every NFL fan's mind whenever a free agent becomes available. But this one actually makes sense. This is a guy that the Titans need specific help. If you could pick one position to upgrade in this offseason, it would be the defensive line. And J.J.
Watt has to be. It has to be the one position you upgrade.
Right. And J.J. Watt's one of the best in the sport. Now, to me, J.J. Watt coming to Nashville, there's five questions that need to be answered. And I wrote about this at Cork Bats. But the first question, would he even want to come to the Titans?
I think absolutely yes.
I think so too. Just, I mean, obviously, Nashville, great market. I think most people would just want to move and live in Nashville.
It's not even about Nashville. It's what the Titans have to offer.
Exactly. And that's, and the fact that he would be reunited with his former defensive coordinator, Mike Vrabel, I think there's a lot of respect around the league for a coach like Mike Vrabel, a guy who has played in the league and had success in the league.
The culture he's built as well.
Yeah, exactly. The winning product that he has put out on the field. I think JJ wants to play for a contender. The Titans are a few good defensive pieces away from being a legit contender. And plus, like, I mean, I feel like if he just throws on like a cool jacket, like he'll look like a country singer. So like he'll fit in on that way. And
he gets to play the Texans twice.
He gets to play the Texans. Yeah. So he gets a little revenge.
He gets his reunion tour. The Texans usually play the Titans in week 17. Where that'll be, I'm not sure. But
he once wore an Earl Campbell jersey to a press conference, post-game press conference. So Earl Campbell.
What are the other questions that you have?
Pretty sure he plays for the Oilers franchise. Oh, and he once tweeted about how the Predators party up in Broadway during the Stanley Cup.
Man,
final.
The Predators need to get good against.
He retweeted that and said, "This is awesome."
Yeah,
dude, that's a good party. I'm just saying. Can the Titans even afford him?
Yes,
I think that's an important question.
I think the question's yeah, or the answer is yes.
Now, I think they can afford him better than their suitors. They're gonna have to rearrange. They're in better position to afford him than the Steelers, which is a. Everyone's thinking that's the number one place he's going to go to reunite with his brothers, and the Packers, which people are thinking he wants to return to Wisconsin. The Titans are in better standing with the salary cap than both of those franchises. So that plays into the Titans' favor.
And the salary cap is expected to dip, and we won't really know. I saw a report that said we may not know until hours before the new league year starts, which is on March 17th, what that new salary cap number will be. The thing is, the Titans were $3 million under the cap last season. They're spending $185 million, which is what's kind of going to be the ballpark of this new salary cap. But there are teams like the salary cap was a mere suggestion. Okay, the Chiefs are $22 million over the cap. The Rams are $26 million. The Steelers are $30 million. The Saints are $69 million over the salary cap. So
nice.
You can yeah, it is pretty nice. Well, not for Drew Brees, but. So there's a lot you can do. There's still a lot of wiggle room. There's no penalty for going over the salary cap outside of a small percentage luxury tax that you're going to have to pay, but they're going to have to be a big spender. Watt foregoed his $17.5 million deal that he would have collected if he stayed in Houston this year. So what I think that's an indicator that he's willing to sacrifice money to go to a contender. But yeah. How much money is going to be the question? I think $15 million is going to be in the ballpark. It's kind of what Clowney was looking for last season that I think Watt will actually get.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, they're going to have to throw money at their problems, right? That's what they're going to have to do. And Watt seems like a viable candidate to fix some of these big issues that they have.
Yeah, it's going to cost money to get elite talent. My number three question is one we've already went over. Do the Titans even want him? I think yes. Yeah. I mean, personally, yes. I would like to see him in two-tone blue. I would love to see him come to the Titans because not just for the, think about the star power. Think about the star power of adding a JJ Watt to a team with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and AJ Brown on the offensive side of the ball. Like that brings more media attention to Nashville.
And on the defensive line.
All around.
On the defensive line. I mean, they really like Harold Landry, and he shows flashes. He can't be out there every play to be as productive as we would want him to be. But Harold Landry's a guy who can get it done on the edge. Having Watt on the other side, along with whoever they draft/sign, and then having Jeffrey Simmons inside, I mean, those the production from those three will all rise, I think. Watt didn't have anybody to take attention away from him in Houston this season, which is why his five sacks might seem a little low, which, I mean, it is. But he's a five-time All-Pro. He's a future Hall of Famer. How could you not want this guy on the Titans? I get it. He played for the Texans, but the Texans are a shell of what they used to be. Look,
right.
Take what the Texans will give you here. You got to take Watt. If he's interested, and Robinson said that they've had some contact with Watt's representatives, and we will see how it goes. So it's clear that there's definitely some interest on the Titan side, at least early interest. So I think that answer is a yes.
And you got to think, on a defense as bad as the Texans was, he's getting a lot of double teams. He's getting all of the focus from every team that faced him. So, you bring him to Nashville, I think, that it either frees up Jeffrey Simmons or it frees up him. So sign me up. Now, number four question. Is there even enough creatine in the greater Nashville area to support J.J. Watt?
And it's funny because his nickname is the Milkman, right?
Yeah.
And so he's going to need a decent amount of protein shake material. Yeah, I don't know. I
looked it up. I looked up. There are only three GNC stores in the greater Nashville area.
Ooh.
So,
well, the thing is, he has easy access to AJ Brown on his team. And who is one of AJ Brown's best friends and college teammates? DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
So look,
I like where you're going with this.
AJ Brown can middleman him to some protein.
Okay.
If that's what it takes. Yeah. Set up a DK to JJ connection.
Okay.
I think AJ Brown qualifies as a middleman there.
So what he does is he runs the outdoor hills and does like the medicine ball workouts with Derrick Henry on Instagram. And then right after that, he hits up AJ Brown for his protein shake afterwards, right?
Exactly. All we have to do is keep Brian Cushing far out of the mix.
Okay. All right. So, hey, when there's a will, there's a way. Protein.
Nice. Right? W-H-E-Y. I like that. That's good.
Thank you. Thank you. Finally, and number five, what happens to his hit TV show Ultimate Tag on Fox, the show he hosts with his two other brothers? It hasn't been renewed yet. We have yet to get a renewal from Fox. Like, does him switching teams, does he say, look, I want to step away from the show? Because that's not necessarily good news. I mean, it would be good news if he came to Nashville, but wouldn't it be good news if he stepped away from his show? Because that's just bad news for all.
Well, and then you would worry about, okay, J.J. Watts has got a TV deal on the side. The Bussin' with the Boys. Taylor Lewan's got a whole podcast he's doing. True. Where's Look, the focus going to be in the season?
Team can handle celebrities or their players becoming celebrities or like having side hustles and side projects, look, Nashville's the place for that.
Look, it'll either eat you up or spit you out. You have examples of Charlie Whitehurst, and then you have Zach Mettenberger. Let's be honest.
You don't see many Packers hosting top podcasts and or top TV shows. Well, I mean, top. It's Ultimate Tag on Fox. But hosting TV shows like you do in Nashville. So I'm just – look, Nashville's entertainment city. You know, it's an entertainment capital. So, JJ, I mean, if you want – to continue that show, I think the best landing spot is Nashville.
You want to be a star for a year? Hey, go to Green Bay. You want to be a star for your life? Nashville's the move.
If you had to put a percentage chance on if J.J. Watt comes to Nashville, what are you putting?
Percentage chance. Let's go 35. I think this is pretty likely. I'm saying below 50 right now just because it's so early and there's a lot to figure out. But
sure.
The stars seem to have aligned in this galaxy for J.J. Watt to, play as a Titan this next year. What do you think? What would you put?
I'm going 22%. Derrick Henry.
Yeah, whenever you can get a Derrick Henry shout out in, you do.
Without question.
I respect that.
Yeah, without question. And also, I mean, look, their draft pick this season, 22. So.
Ooh.
I think things are just coming up 22 this offseason. So.
I think so. Where this lies right now with the Titans and J.J. Watt, it's kind of in the talking phase of a relationship. It's kind of even before that. It's
the talking, yeah.
You
guys are talking?
It's like where you, I don't know.
Wait, are you and Vanessa talking?
You're on Hinge for a couple of weeks. Nothing's going right, okay? Until finally, after a tough year, of just duds, which is what the Titans had last year on the defensive line, especially. You see this guy. I said, I'm going to swipe right. I'm going to swipe right here.
Yeah.
That's what the Titans are doing. J.J. Watt, I think he just swiped right back. And I think now they're trying to set up, drinks or dinner? Which one should we do for our first date? That's where I think this relationship's going.
Where do you take them on the first date? I take them to the rooftop of the Bobby.
Yeah, the Bobby. That's a good one. L.A. Jackson would be like, we're willing to roll out the red carpet for you, buddy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Maybe even like throw some Titans dollars around, just rent the place out.
Yeah.
You know, make it all for that way. Plus if like his shoulders are so broad, like if he gets stuck in a door frame, like it won't be embarrassing to like, just have to Vaseline him out. Like there won't be anyone there to laugh at it. All right. Speaking of guys with big frames, we are getting to Big Joe on the go. Joe Dubin joins us, but before we get to that, let me talk to you guys about DraftKings Sportsbook. You know, it's not quite time for the madness that is college basketball in March, but that doesn't mean the fun has to wait. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all new players the chance to cash $100. New customers can bet $1 on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. All right? And if your team makes it rain, you can cash $100. That's right. All it takes is one three-pointer. So, like, unless you're betting on Vanderbilt, like, the odds are pretty good in this case, all right? This slam dunk of an offer won't be around forever, so head to the App Store right now, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and get in on all of the action. If basketball isn't for you, don't worry. DraftKings Sportsbook has daily odds on hockey, soccer, and so much more. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its customers since 2012, so they have a thing or two. They know a thing or two about big paydays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code A to Z Sports to get your shot to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. That's promo code A to Z Sports. It's A-T-O-Z Sports for new customers to get a shot at 100-to-1 odds on any basketball team to hit a three-point shot only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. New customers only, restrictions apply. Winnings paid out in four $25 free bets. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Now let's get to Big Joe. Punch in my cup. Night just getting started. I'm already doing too much. Reach down in my pocket, my wallet missing, boy, tighten up. Party all on the rooftop. We're bringing back one of my favorite, not just guests on this show, but one of my favorite just people in life in general. The man who, if God forbid anything happened to my parents, I would want him to adopt me. He is a life coach. He is a mentor of mine. I don't know if he knows that, but he is. This is a guy. He went to high school with The Rock.
Yeah.
Shout out McGavick High School in Middle Tennessee. You can find him on Twitter at Big Joe on the Go TN. Is the first account. Who knows what happened to that one? Screw that.
It was Ray-Bans, wasn't it? That was the Ray-Bans incident.
Yeah, it was
awful.
Yeah, just bad situation. Yeah, you can go. I think we definitely talked about that the last time he was on. He is a reoccurring guest. It is Joseph Dubin.
Welcome.
Big Joe on the Go. Dude, how are you, man?
Welcome, man. All it takes is one text of like, hey, man, we got no guests. You want to come on? I'm like, hey, man. I'm here. Whatever you guys need.
Yeah. Full disclosure. We're going to have Joe on next week. We kind of plan out our like, okay, who are we going to target each week? Who we want to go after? And our guest this week kind of just went like MIA, radio silent on us. So we kind of had to adjust. We had to pivot and we said, you know what? Hey, let's move up Joe a week ahead of time. Like, let's get him closer to, let's just get him on now.
Yeah.
And so sure enough, the text went out and Joe's like, well, you know, I'll have to shuffle around some things. You know, he's like, you know, you had like probably a date tonight. You probably had, you know, just a number of different, an interview with Taylor.
Yeah. Smith, sledding plans. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I was out shoveling snow and I look up in the far west sky, like the bat signal, it says BJ. And I'm like, those guys need me. They need Big Joe, right? They need Big Joe. So I knew immediately. when I looked off to the west. Whenever I saw the spotlights.
Whenever we need you, we just flash a BJ up in the sky.
That's it.
All we do.
I knew it.
I need BJ right now.
And there he is.
It's had a few different
Big Joe.
Yeah. Joe, I want to start with who has the best snow coverage in Nashville? Which station?
Ooh, good question.
That's a good one. I'm gonna say Channel 7. They're really good. I think you know what? Everybody does the same thing. Everybody shows the same coverage. Everybody shows the same sledding down the hill. Everybody shows the same. It's all the same. It's tough. I think everybody does a good job. It's tough being out there when it's 14 degrees. So obviously, I'm the best. So I'm going to say me.
Of course.
I was going to say, counterpoint to just everyone being the same. Snowbird? Ever heard of him?
Love Snowbird.
Does he like walk around the office all the time?
He's kind of like Dale Murphy. You know, he should be in the Hall of Fame, but he's not in the Hall of Fame. But you know him more than most Hall of Famers. He's that guy.
Yeah.
Big like, Ravens fan. Love that comparison.
Have you ever seen Snowbird without his head on?
I have. So, funny story, about 7 years ago, Snowbird comes to my son's school. He's in kindergarten. And my son walks up to me and says, "Dad, I need $20. And I said, "For what?" He goes, "Snowbird says if I give him $20, he'll put me on TV." And my son was totally serious. And I think Snowbird was serious, too. And it just, but I saw every kid go to their parent whispering the same thing. And I'm like, some parent's going to fall for this. And like, here's $20. It's going to fall. And so I always knew that Snowbird had this special, like, marketing tool inside. I was like, yeah, this guy's got it. He knows what he's doing.
Snowbird just needed some beer money.
I'm not saying he didn't. I'm not saying he was. I'm just telling you.
Look, penguins can drink, man. Don't sleep on them. Joe. So, before we get into any Titan stuff, I got to ask you one question. Get our heavy lifting up front. Just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Our hardest hitting questions first. Why should you be our new Nashville media beef? Why should you be our new Nashville media beef? So, full disclosure, we used to have big beef with Jonathan Hutton. We hate that guy. He sucks.
Jump Street. Yeah.
Jay Hutt's the worst. He's the nicest guy in Nashville media and like charitable. Super sweet. Yeah, very charitable.
Yeah.
But we hate him. From the first episode of our podcast, we set out and we said, we need a beef with someone, and we chose Jonathan Hutton because no one else has a beef with him. So we just figured that one would work. Well, Jay Hutt's obviously no longer on the radio in Nashville. So we're like, okay, we need a new Nashville media beef. So what we're doing this offseason, up until, you know, Titans actually give us something to talk about.
Sure.
Each week we're bringing on a new guest and we're asking them. We're basically having Nashville media beef tryouts. And so we want to know from you, why would you be good for this? It's almost like, consider this like American Idol, but for like beefing with us.
Well, 19 years in a row, I've been voted Nashville's media darling. I mean, the only person that's come close is Kelly Sutton. And by come close, way. I mean, she's like Memphis and I'm Nashville. She's way away from me, but she's second. So I've got no competition for Nashville's media. I've got literally no competition. So that's one thing. You try to take the man down. You could try. It's not going to work. But I would do that. Nashville's media darling needs some kind of conflict in his life.
He's getting a little rough around the edges, right?
Yeah. He's a little bit too hot for his pants.
Sure. Yeah, it's like McDonald's has been like the number one fast food chain for just too long right now. You know, it's like it's time someone else takes that crown.
Yeah.
Do you have a good insult for us or something? Or like, are you a trash talker? Could you?
So off the top of your head, what's the worst thing you can say about us?
What's the worst thing? Yeah, just grill.
Oh, the worst thing? Oh my God. That's an absolutely wonderful question. The worst thing about you. I've had more wrecks in my life that I've caused than Daytona 500 in its entirety. I've caused more emotional, not car wrecks, but I've wrecked more things in my life than Daytona has ever.
So you went the worst thing about you. Okay. We had Luke Worsham and Darren Bates on, and when Luke came on, you know, he's kind of like the nerdy kid in the lunchroom who sits by himself and eats his banana.
Yeah.
And then we had Darren Bates come on, and Darren Bates wanted every bit of this beef.
He actually scared us.
Scared us down from that.
We were like, we don't. Well, okay, so, maybe that was a bad. We shouldn't have gone barking up that tree.
Oh man,
your resume.
Yeah, he's an Auburn guy too.
That's right. Oh yeah. Hates Gene Chizik. But
yeah, oh, definitely hates Gene Chizik. But then again, who doesn't?
That's a good point.
Okay. So let's just say, like, I guess your resume is submitted. We'll look at. We still got a lot of other people to talk to.
File it away.
Yeah, but we're gonna hold on to this.
Front of the line, though.
And we are going to consider you as our Nashville media beef. And let's just say, look, I'm not gonna say that you're the Nashville media darling. But keep in mind, like, the last guy we had beef with fled radio altogether, like just fled the entire scene. So I'm not going to say we got the better of him, but we got the better of him.
Yeah, I'm sure it's in the back of his mind. It's like, you know what? I'm just not. It's not worth it anymore.
Right. Yeah.
I'm on to it. I like it.
I'm not renewing in Nashville. Not with the Cup boys getting after my ass every single week.
I mean, he's probably like, I can't even go to Hickory Hollow Mall anymore because who knows who's going to be out there waiting on me.
Right.
It's a literal business decision that he made.
It is.
Yeah. It's like now he has to go find another Bed Bath & Body Works, like in town.
Yeah. Typical Warren County guy. It's going to hightail out, runs his mouth and gets out of town. The worst.
What are we going to do about him? But hey, it's snowing and everyone's freaking out. Nashville doesn't know how to handle snow very well. Neither do the drivers. You got any tips or advice for maybe new people who moved to Nashville, or just advice for drivers in general?
Yeah, here's the deal. Don't stop. And people get stuck or they stop. I mean, if you got your car rolling, just keep going. Find the path, get behind the plow guy and go. You know, I saw a car in my neighborhood, close to the neighborhood, was going up a hill and it just paused for half a second. I'm not kidding, half a second. Go back down. Just go, man. Just, you got to go. And I love that. Stay home. Just go do your thing, man. Just go ahead and go out and run around and be smart. And whoever, if you buy a rear wheel drive car, you should have your license revoked for a year. Rear wheel drive cars are awful. They're awful. Front wheel drive cars can go anywhere. All wheel drive cars can probably go to the moon. Do you have that.
Do you have any advice for Nashville drivers just in perfect weather?
Oh my gosh. I live on the east side of town, right? So we have two red lights out this way, which drive me. I run these red lights all the time and then one day a lady pulled up. So I got caught the next red light and she pulled up. She says, I got your tag number. And I was like, would you ever do that? I mean, Jack, if you ran a red light, I'm not going to pull up next to you and say, I got your tag number.
Oh, I'll probably follow right behind you.
Right.
If you go,
who
I
cares?
Go.
Right.
So Nashville drivers are just weird. They're awful, but they're weird, man. Yeah. I just don't get it.
Yeah. But you also, like, if Jack runs a red light, like he has a vanity plate that says just Mr. Big Shot. So like it's not.
I have a target on my back.
Yeah. It's not hard to know what his tag is.
It's like the old adage, you know, if your friend jumped off a bridge, would you? If the guy next to you ran the red light, would you? He made it fine, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
I run countless red lights in Nashville. I run countless red lights. I'm not kidding you. I'm not sitting there wasting my time. Right. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Who are they to say that we need to stop? You know, I mean, you just said it yourself. Just keep going. Keep going.
I check both ways. No car's coming and it's around. I'm gone, man. It's stupid. So I just take off and go.
Yeah.
It's a very odd town for driving.
I was gonna say, I'm glad we turned to you for the driving
thank
advice.
You
Joe, when if you're put or when John Robinson first called his press conference the other day, or what did you think it was about? Like, what, because obviously, like, it was kind of out of the blue and everyone was like assuming this is going to be some either like a someone got cut or a big announcement. Like, did you have any of those thoughts at all?
No, because he does it every year before the combine, and there's no combine this year.
Yeah.
And well, yeah, good time.
And that's the thing. No combine this year. So yeah. It makes it even weirder if you think about it.
So I just knew, though, there was people like, oh, he's going to cut Isaiah Wilson. John Robinson's not going to cut Isaiah Wilson. He's not. They've invested too much money, and they're not going to turn their back on him. And people could say what they want. Let him go. Get him out of there. Look, I mean, when I was 22 years old, I'm going to leave it right there. And I had $20 in my pocket. This dude's got $2 million. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but look, maybe the guy grows up, becomes the best tackle in football.
Did you get that $20 from Snowbird?
I did. So no, I wasn't weirded out at all. And I know it wouldn't be any JJ Watt news. It's just too early for all that stuff. It just made me like, hey, football's over. Let's talk a little bit. There's not really much going on. So I'm glad he kind of talked.
The last time we had you on, we didn't know who was going to be calling the plays on the defensive side of the ball. Now, after a year in Shane Bowen's system, Robinson kind of hit on some things. He's happy about the continuity and bringing Bowen back. He realizes that, you know, there's a desperate need for an edge rusher and obviously more help on that side of the ball. What do you look forward to the most in Shane Bowen's second year as the DC?
I still think Vrabel makes the calls. I know it sounds weird. I just still think Vrabel makes the calls. And it was just odd last year. Why, you know, Shane Bowen's running the defense, doing all that stuff. You don't give him the title. Are you trying to save money? If you're paying a lot, a defense coordinator salary to a linebacker coach salary is night and day, night and day. And I just think it was very odd. So I don't know. Vrabel has a comfortability with him, and they'll be fine. Look, if you don't get a pass rusher, you can have Buddy Ryan come back from the grave and try to get that defense, and nothing happens until you get a pass rusher on that football team. You think about the great days of this team that had pass rushers. You go back to Curse, Vandenbosch, Haynesworth. I know they did good in 2019, which is kind of an anomaly because they came out of nowhere. But still, they need a pass rusher. So I don't care what defensive coordinator they got there. If you can't rush the passer, there's no need. I don't care who's back there.
Would Buddy Ryan be a good coach from the grave?
You know why? Because as a ghost, he could go to other teams' meetings, get their intel, okay, and come back on this side.
I'm like surprised. That. In that case, I'm surprised Belichick hasn't hired him yet.
Exactly. Maybe he already has.
Who needs a drone when you have Buddy Ryan's ghost?
Exactly, man.
Joe,
that's all you need.
Are the Titans too stubborn?
In what sense?
Just, I would say, in the sense that Vrabel's decision making, not just in game, but then also just with the coaching staff. I feel like it's only regressed. But then also, part of me is wondering if there's a little bit of that is leaked into John Robinson as well, because he's coming off his worst offseason yet. And even in today in the presser, he was like praising Harold Landry in the pass rush, and even guys like Jadeveon Clowney, they were able to get a lot out of him. Like, what?
I also love how the Jeopardy music is playing behind you while Austin asks this question.
I watch it every day, man. I tape it and watch it every day. Okay, I see what you're saying, Austin. So with that, being said, look, here's the deal. Vrabel spent 8 years under Belichick, so when he says he's not Bill Belichick, he's lying to you. All right, who did he coach with in college? Coach under Urban Meyer. All right, that guy's not winning any Dad of the Year awards at the local civic club. No. And then he's with Bill O'Brien. And so, I mean, so Vrabel's got this of stubborn guys he's worked for. So, you know, you covet what you see every day, which is a good line from Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs. So you see this stuff every day and you mimic it every day, and you kind of, that's your kind of template for what you do. Absolutely, they're stubborn. I think Mike Vrabel is a stubborn coach. He's a good coach now, not a great coach. I don't think he'll ever be a great coach. I think he's a good coach. But you see who he's coached under and who he's with. And I think him and Robinson are buddy-buddy. And I absolutely see that. Like, you know, don't question me. And here's some good things we did here. It's kind of like going out there and running your own PR campaign. And it's like John Robinson's running for high school president. And here's all the things I'm good at. What about this and that? Oh, I don't know. Mumble, mumble, cough, hiccup. I don't know what's going on there. I just think, look, Conklin's gone. That's your first ever draft choice. He's gone. Corey Davis is your 27th draft choice. He's probably going to be gone. Adoree Jackson is an average football player. We saw that. So I think Rashawn Evans in 2018 is pretty good. Simmons is a great player. Wilson, So his first round picks haven't been that great. And I think it's a really weird time for John Robinson, because what happens if they fade away this year and there's law kind of pressure on him? So it's a big year for the Titans.
Yeah. No, in John Robinson's defense, his second round draft picks are really good, though. Mm-hmm. He's good. Got, if you go down the list of his second round picks, it's like an all NFL team for the Titans.
It is.
But I feel like you want a certain amount of stubbornness for guys in John Robinson's position and guys in Mike Vrabel's position. You want a certain amount of stubbornness, but I also feel like that line is so thin as to when it starts to hamper you and when it starts to hinder the team and really can be your downfall. And that's what I'm worried with. I feel like the Titans right now are flirting with that line of the stubbornness of Mike Vrabel's thinking, oh, I can win with these guys. It was more of a personnel issue than a coaching issue last year. And John Robinson basically being like, things are not as bad as you guys are making them out to look. Because to me, it's like they just, with this last season, they threw away a championship season. If they could have put together even a middle of the pack defense in the NFL, I think they're playing in the Super Bowl. I legitimately believe that because of how good their offense was. They did not have that on defense. And I just think that they already threw away one championship window season. They're not going to get many more.
Right.
I'm scared that the stubbornness is going to close that window for good.
Go back and watch that Ravens playoff game again. They got out-coached, out-played everything.
Yeah. Right.
And still – they were close to winning that ball game. If you watch Lamar Jackson's touchdown run, how he just ran through the Titans' secondary, Vaccaro, Byard. Although I thought Malcolm Butler had a decent year, that just looked awful. You got to repair. You don't repair that. Here's the good news, though. They're in the absolute worst division in all of professional sports. The Texans are awful. The Jags are awful. The Colts can't get out of their own way. So winning the division should be easy each and every year because it's that absolutely bad. You got four wins there between the Texans and the Jags. You split with the Colts, you got five wins. There, I mean, you're sitting pretty right there. So they're lucky because they're in that division. And again, I'm a huge Ryan Tannehill. I think he's an outstanding quarterback. And I agree with you, Austin. I think they get defense somewhat fixed. They've got maybe one or two more years, and then that's it.
The AL West is pretty bad too. Just
the NFC East, we can't forget about.
Yeah, those. And the NFC East, it's
yeah, that's true. But they're all equally bad in the NFC East.
The Eastern
all bad.
Division, Atlantic Division, in the Eastern Conference in the NBA. It's also I'm just kidding.
But
I can't. You know what's funny? When I was growing up, I could name all starting five of an NBA team and all NBA head coaches. And now I can't name hardly any NBA head coaches. And the same for Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
it's just weird how you evolve and do things.
The turnover is crazy in the NBA. But I want to ask you more towards, you know, John Robinson, the biggest offseason. Now's not the time to be stubborn. J.J. Watt seems to be pretty close to the top of their wish list this offseason. Are you in or out on him? 32 years old. Obviously, he's done what he's done. He's been this elite Hall of Fame player. But where he is in his career now, do you think that's the right move for the Titans?
Love it. I'd sign him tonight if they could. I mean, that guy, I know he's been injured, but you look about this, you know, last year, you know, he did okay, but he got rejuvenated. And I go back to Kyle VandenBosch when he came here back in 05. VandenBosch was a guy that, you know, had people like, his motor's gone. He's not going to do anything. He came out, just rejuvenated for 3 or 4 years and was outstanding. I think you bring Watt here and say, all right, you're just going to come in and rush the passer. Your job is to rush the passer. And I think you got something there. Although I think Watt ends up in Pittsburgh with his brothers.
Mm.
But I would sign him today, tonight, bring him in.
Who has a better build, you or J.J. Watt?
Oh, easily me.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't flaunt it. I wear big, heavy clothes. So you don't see it.
Right, sure.
Yeah, it's not my nature just to throw it out there like that.
I was going to say, if there's one word to describe you, it's modest.
Yeah, so it's funny. John McClain tweeted out the other day that J.J. Watt was leaving. So I tweeted back to John McClain and said he's going to come to Tennessee because the Tennessee Vols under Butch Jones – y'all remember this, when it got to be third down, they play that little song, you know, third down for what?
Yeah.
And I said, third down for what? And you should have seen the replies I got back from people like, is it for real they do that? Or like, you're so stupid. And I just sit back and watch them all roll in, man. Right. Third down for one. Like, it's the Titans, not the Vols. You're stupid. I'm like, look, it's still the state of Tennessee. Still the same thing. Third down for J.J. Watt.
Yeah, and you'll see a lot of orange jackets on in the stands on Sundays, too. Who has better hair, you or J.J. Watt?
Oh, easily me, because I don't try to fake it. Just shave it. I mean, there's a lot of things I'm better than. And I'm also a better actor. Those stupid Subway commercials, you know, I'm a better actor than that, too. All the way. If I see him face-to-face, I'll let him know that he's better, just because I'm just like, you know, you can toot your own horn, buddy. I'm not going to do it for you.
His Arsenal sunglasses just doesn't touch yours either.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Where is it that you get your – let's give them a shout-out, the sunglass place that you get all of your
– Fred's.
Oh, and it's closed. Is it closed or open?
Fred's closed.
Yeah. Right.
So now they got them at Dollar Tree, but they can't keep them in stock.
Fred's and Buddy Ryan, they'd make a hell of a ghost tandem.
That sucks.
They would, man.
Yeah.
Joe, man. Man, I'm sorry for your loss with Fred's.
It's okay.
Was that a pandemic loss?
It was a badly ran business loss, so you can blame it on a pandemic.
Yeah, sure. Let's chalk it up to COVID.
I mean, you think about all this discount, Dollar General, Fred's, Family Dollar, Dollar Tree, Dollar Store. I love all those places, all of them. They're so good, man.
Yeah.
But they're starting to go by the way. Fred's is gone now. Family Dollar's gone.
I mean, you put one kid on TV, and that's 20 things you could buy in that store. So.
Easily.
Imagine what Snowbird walks out of there with $20.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Too bad they don't sell liquor there. He'd love that too, man. You go all day on that.
So the first day of free agency opens up. What's the one move that you're making? If you're in John Robinson's shoes, what do you got to get done?
You've got to get a defensive end. But then you got Beasley and Clowney last year who are absolutely terrible.
Right.
I don't know how you do that. And then you tell me Harold Landry is the best thing, which is not true. I don't get it, man. I don't. Is that tough to find a pass rusher?
Obviously this isn't your first move, but do the Titans look into bringing Clowney back?
How do you explain that to your fan base?
Well, because of his years past. And if he's battling injury last year, there's nothing really you can do about that.
But
in years past, he's been that playmaker. So if you can get a healthy Clowney, I mean, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm I'm just smitten. But like, I think I would do it, Joe. I would bring it back.
Robinson used today in his presser, it sounded like he was really trying to convince himself that that might be a good idea. He didn't mention Clowney, you know, by name, but he did say, you know, we're looking at free agents. Clowney was disruptive in the time where he did play, but obviously no sacks. I mean,
zero sacks.
Well, I mean, who did have a sack this year for the Titans?
I just don't get it. You try to explain it. And I think the part of the problem is, like, when Vic Beasley went to the Raiders, you know, they're sitting there, you know, John Robinson brings out a Vic Beasley voodoo doll and is just punching it. Like, don't get a sack, don't get a sack. And if you like Clowney, I mean, think about this. Clowney leaves and says he goes to the Ravens and has an outstanding year.
That's going
to
happen.
Who's to blame for that? I mean, somebody's got to take blame for that.
I mean,
and it goes right back to the Titans.
But I don't know if that's – I don't know if you can put as much blame on something like in that situation where it was literally just injuries that kept him off the field more than you can – like a Vic Beasley, sure, that blame goes all towards John Robinson, all towards the Titans front office. But if Clowney goes off next year for another team, you know, if he goes to the Browns and just goes off, I don't think you can do anything about that. Now, I, in my opinion, I think you bring Clowney back, try and get him healthy, get him through an entire off season with the Titans, which I also think that kind of hampered him a bit, a little more familiarity, but you don't just chalk that up as a win. I don't think you chalk that up even as help for your D-line. I think you go out and you still make at least two more signings on the defensive line to get some edge rushers or interior D-linemen.
Is Clowney, Watt, and, you know, a first or second round draft pick going to be enough? I mean, it's weird that we're even saying that, but that's, I mean, Watt's injury history and what Clowney did last year, also getting injured, and Robinson's inability to draft in the first round outside of Jeffrey Simmons, of course. I mean, the question, I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, I mean, it's all valid points there, and I don't think the point of bringing Clowney, I just wouldn't bring him in because I think he's done. I think he got paid and he's done. I remember watching him at South Carolina take on Vandy here, and Vanderbilt abused him all game. He just quit on plays. He played when he wanted to.
Well, and that's been a knock of his for forever. It's always been you're going to get those a couple game changing type plays out of him. But the rest of the time, you may not get anything out of them. And
exactly. I would just move on, man. I would move on and try something else. And, you know, I mean, you never know. You could always get some pass rusher out there. You had no idea. He fits in your system perfectly. I mean, you've got 30 scouts out there who know every single college football player. Problem is, some of these guys who were on borderline could be really good, great, are coming back for their senior year to improve their stock. So, the pandemic really screwed a lot of things up as far as the transfer portal, guys staying back, not losing eligibility. But here's the deal. If you go 22nd like the Titans got to go, you got to nail this. You got to nail this. Unless you move out of the first round to the second round, then all the pressure's off. You know, Titans did that with – they drafted Ben Troop. And I forget what year it was, like 04, 05.
There's a remember they, the Titans there.
They took him there. They took Dyson's brother in the second round. They moved out of the first – so the pressure's off. And, you know, load up on draft choices in the back end. That's maybe something you could do there too. But okay. I would move on. I'd be moving on and gone and be done.
And going back to what we said earlier, John Robinson's really good with second-round picks. So trade down.
Except for Kevin Dodd. He'd like to for Kevin Dodd.
Kevin Dodd was a bad one.
But nobody saw that coming. I watched, again, a few weeks ago, I watched the national championship game in 2015, Clemson, Alabama. Dodd was all over the field against several Alabama All-Americans.
I have a soft spot in my heart for Dodd because, I give – John Robinson half credit for Dodd because in my Madden franchise, Kevin Dodd is my best defensive player. He is a beast. And so Dodd wouldn't have been on the Titans had it not been John Robinson signing him in real life. So I do give him half credit.
I think John Robinson needs to bring you in as a coach. Obviously you got the player development. You got the best out of Kevin Dodd, right? Should bring him in.
Maybe look, and that was I was going to get to that question a little later on in the interview, but maybe I am the answer defensive coordinator. I don't know.
You'd be a better player development guy than what Urban Meyer tried to hire with the Jags. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah, that guy.
be better, Chris. I'd have a longer term than Chris Doyle. That's for sure.
That guy, Urban hired a modern day Archie Bunker. That guy was awful. He was awful to everyone. It's going to come a day, and we're going to laugh. One day, one of these kids in a trust fund is going to buy a pro football team, and he's going to make a GM. He's going to hire a GM of some fantasy football team. I swear to you, it's going to happen one day. They're going to make some fantasy football guy the GM of the team. Because wasn't the Browns did that with some analytics guy's GM who lived in California and didn't really know talent but knew analytics? This is 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Wasn't it the guy who worked for the A's, Paul Dave Podesta?
Something like that. Yes. Yeah. Because he wouldn't leave the West Coast.
One of the original Moneyball guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
That worked out really well.
Hey, so Big Joe, not a lot of things surprise us anymore when we talk about Pac-Man Jones. That being said, he got arrested again over the weekend, and we're going to hit on his long, long, long list of run-ins with the police here later in this episode. John Glennon came on and had an awesome Pac-Man Jones story, not really about Pac-Man, but him, going to Club Karma and maybe just scoping some things out as an undercover reporter, just kind of figuring out the lay of the land, seeing maybe if Pac-Man was there. He actually ran into Jeff Fisher at the time.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you had a Pac-Man story of any kind.
All right, I got a couple of them. He had bought property next to George Jones out in Franklin. And so Pac-Man was, this is what I was told, was running his ATVs, his four-wheelers on the property. George Jones went out there and have a word with him. And George Jones and Pac-Man became like buddies, what I'm told.
Oh, my God.
So can you see them two sitting on a back porch drinking beer and talking about the good old days? That always made me laugh.
That's a country song waiting to happen.
So then Pac-Man had bought a house in Green Hills. It was on a cul-de-sac, and he had these, shocker, had all these parties all night long. So when I worked at Channel 2, Andy Cordan went out, had his own camera to confront Pac-Man about all this stuff. So Pac-Man's buddy comes running out of the house, screaming at Cordan. Well, here comes Pac-Man. They're like, turn that camera off, turn that camera off. Cordan's like, all right, I'll turn it off. Doesn't turn it off, puts it on the ground. So you hear the audio of Pac-Man. And let me tell you what, it was Red Fox, would make Red Fox blush. Cuss words up and down, screaming, yelling, and we all laughed. I mean, it was so bad, you couldn't run it because there were enough, it would just be a constant beep the whole way through there. So that always made me laugh. And then there was one time in Denver in 2006 on the team bus, the Titans go to a game, they have three buses. Usually the first two buses are loaded with a team and they go, then there's that last bus, at least the last second. It's usually got three or four players on there and there's usually some sponsors on there. So Pac-Man comes out of the hotel last and I'm sitting on the bus, third seat. I'll never forget, third seat from the back. This was a 2006 preseason game at Denver. Gets on, starts arguing with the bellman. Because the bellman, I don't know if he wanted the bellboy wanted a tip or something, but Pac-Man was yelling at him through the bus and pulled the window down, was yelling at him, everything. There were sponsors on the bus. Security guard goes back there, sits down with him, admonishes Pac-Man. Security guard comes up to me, sits next to me, and says, when I retire, I'm going to tell you some stories about that guy that'll make your head spin. And, you know, he retired a couple years later, and he said, I still want to find the guy that heard all the stories. But just the way he said that to me, I'll never forget, like, there's much more to this than we ever knew, than stuff that we had no idea that went on. And actually, the next week came out when he got busted on 65 by 100 Oaks Mall by going like 120 in his car and was pulled over for that and all these speeding tickets. So those three stories always, George Jones, Andy Cordan, and yelling at the bellboy at the hotel, just going off on him, always make me laugh, man. Oh, those are the ones. And it's funny because he was such a punt-returning talent. He would have been one of the best to ever return punts in the NFL had he gotten his act together. Real quick, in that same year when the Titans started 06 and Pac-Man was banned from the facility, he bought a Bentley. And I'll never forget, guys, the Titans were 0-4 at the time. He was banned the first 4 weeks. He shows up in the locker room. Everybody's high-fiving him, and he says, let's go check out my Bentley. And the entire team goes out in the parking lot. They're out there. We missed all the interviews. They're all looking at the Bentley. And it dawned on me, this 0-4 Titans team in 2006, they didn't care. They didn't care about football. It was the weirdest thing. He had some weird spell over the football team, and I'll never know exactly what it was. And that's it. And so him getting arrested, not shocked at all.
No.
Did you get to see the Bentley?
Oh, it was somebody said it was $300,000. I don't know cars. That was $300,000. I don't know if that's true or not, but
it's not rear wheel drive, is it?
If it is, it's only $200. But it was nice. Of course, we all kind of go out there and check it out because the entire team went out there and checked it out. It was something else, man.
That's like a show and tell at school or something.
Yeah. And he came in. He'd been banned. He comes in screaming and yelling, let's go check out my Bentley. And they all left to go check out his Bentley. I was like, okay.
All right.
It's only second year in the league.
This team is not going to the playoffs. Yeah.
No. It's funny. They finished that year 8-8. And had they beat the Patriots the last game in 2006, they'd have gone to there was like eight things that had to happen for them to get to the playoffs. And number eight was beat the Patriots. The Patriots beat them that last game in 2006. They don't make the playoffs. Crazy.
Doug Flutie had a drop kick in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
Something weird. Testaverde was on that team, too.
Yeah, Testaverde was on the team. And, yeah, I don't even think Brady started because
– Week 17.
He didn't need to, yeah. So, I think Testaverde started, and Doug Flutie came in and did a drop kick. And I was like – oh, like that was the nail in the coffin for me for that season. Cause I was still holding out hope that the Titans were going to make the playoffs. And if Doug Flutie ever drop kicks a ball against your team for an extra point, then you know it's like, okay. That
yeah, it was a weird thing that Belichick pulled out that hadn't been done in like 50 years in football.
Yeah.
That they tried to – that's also the game where Rodney Harrison says Jeff Fisher had all the dirty – Kevin Maguire's trying to take his knees out, and Rodney Harrison hates Jeff Fisher because of that game. A lot of things happened in that game. If I'm mistaken, that might have been Testaverde's last game in the NFL. That was like
I think it was,
year 21,
yeah,
which was unprecedented at the time for some stat that he had going on there. There's a lot of things that happened, and that's when Peyton and the Colts won the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, and they almost accidentally drop-kicked Doug Flutie into through the uprights. That's a little known.
You know, Doug Flutie has another part in Titans lore because, remember, he was supposed to start the Music City Miracle.
City Miracle game, yeah. Yeah.
And Wade Phillips starts Rob Johnson instead of him. And the whole team was like, what? Nobody liked Rob Johnson at all. And it was an odd week.
And he was bad that game, too. Remember, yes, he was. Got sacked in the end zone. And,
yep.
Just had a rough game. And I was thinking, when they announced that, when they announced Rob Johnson over Doug Flutie, I was like, yes, let's go. Like this is awesome.
Yeah,
this
that's
is great
right.
news for the Titans. Thank you.
Exactly.
So, hey, Joe, I'm going to try and think of one last question before I get you out of here.
Oh, I got one.
Oh, okay. Jack's got one.
Will our media beef interfere with your current media beef with Vanderbilt heads men basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse?
Ooh, no, because I only tweet good things to him, like how great he is, how wonderful he is. And look, man, when you got the other night when he was going on Friday night, was going on Twitter blocking people and they were all showing screenshots of Stackhouse doing it. I thought that was fantastic. Here's a basketball coach in a hotel room in Starkville, Mississippi, which there's nothing to do down there, on Twitter blocking dudes left and right. Just made me laugh. So I just tweet good things. And the reason I do that, funny story. You know, if you're baseball, if you go out and argue balls and strikes, you're ejected immediately.
Yeah.
So I asked Tim Corbin one time, I said, if your call is really bad, what do you do? Because you're very competitive. You like to get your point across. What do you do not getting thrown out? He's like, easy. He goes, I'm so sarcastic. Like, Austin was the home plate umpire. It was obvious ball and he called a strike. I'm like, Austin, that is the best call ever. That you are a wonderful umpire. Are you going to toss the guy for giving you compliments? So Corbin's like, you're the best. Way to go, man. Gosh, yeah, you were the best umpire of all time. Thank you so much. And so that always made me laugh. So if you tweet the Stackhouse how great he is, when really he's not that great, yeah, it keeps you going, man.
I found one from 3 days ago, and I'll read your tweet. Wow, at Vandy men's basketball with their best first half since Purdue Cornette Reed back in 88 versus University of Phoenix. Way to go, at Jerry Stackhouse. Keep blocking the negativity. When we lose you to South Carolina, I'll be mad. So yeah, you are doing exactly what you said you were doing.
Well, you know, the story behind that is Eddie Fogler in 93. Vanderbilt comes off a Sweet 16. He wants an extension. Vanderbilt doesn't give him an extension. Fogler goes to South Carolina. They double his pay. He's gone. And next year, Jan Van Bredekov comes in, and you know the rest of the story after that.
Funny story, Jan Van Bredekov was actually my AAU coach growing up.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Sick.
We didn't have that much success either. So.
Hey, that's great.
Joe, who's the better blocker on Twitter, Jerry Stackhouse or Deion Lewis?
Oh, that's – or don't forget, Bomani Jones is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Bomani.
He's pretty good. Arthur
Smith.
Did he not?
No.
Terrible. The ultimate blocker of all time on Twitter, Tim Brando, is the absolute
Tim Brando.
Best.
Wow, that actually surprised me a little bit.
Oh, he is awful. Nice, he nice is guy. Awful. You disagree anything with him, he'll like, you're blocked. Goodbye. All caps, and he's gone. I was like, oh man. He blocked the other Big Joe, which made me laugh. This Big Joe, he hasn't yet.
Yeah. At Big Joe TN. Or no, at Big Joe on the Go TN. Nice. Hey, Joe, I'm blocked by Kirk Herbstreit, and I have no idea why. I've only ever tweeted nice things to him yesterday.
Do you want my Herbstreit story real quick?
Sure.
All right. So 2018, his son played at NBA, and they played – Pearl Cone in a football game. Well, when I'm doing high school football on Friday nights, you got to go out and get as many highlights as you can, go back, edit, put the show together. It's a process. So they're playing Procone, and his son drops a pass in the end zone. Right in his chest, drops it, but he catches the plate of the game to win the game. But I don't have that. I just got the drop pass. So I go back and do the highlights, and I say, hey, whatever his name, Herb Street, that's Kirk's son, little Herbie, dropped the pass in the end zone, but they won, yada, yada, yada. I kid you not, the next day I had 18 calls on my phone that were – there was unlisted number. I'm not kidding. 18. I'm not kidding you. So if I answer again, and the guy says, this is Big Joe? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, Kirk Herbstreit. And I put it on speakerphone and brought another guy in the office to listen to the conversation and make sure this really was happening. So I have a witness. And he said, I just got a problem. You are my son's favorite broadcaster. We tape your show every Friday night.
Stop right there. Pretty badass. That's awesome. Shout out.
And I knew where he was going. I was like, all right. And he goes, we're just wondering why you didn't show my son's touchdown, but yet you wanted to show his drop pass. And I said, well, Kirk, I work in TV. We get the highlights. You should know this. We get highlights as quick as we can. And we'll go and, we'll do something else. He's like, well, you don't call out a kid for dropping a pass. And I said, well, Kirk, he dropped past the end zone. And I said, and the highlight I showed after you was a 4th-and-1 Stratford taking on Maplewood, and it got Maplewood hit the guy at the goal line, stopped him, but then ripped his helmet off. And I said, that was an awful play. So, yeah, if a kid does something, and drops a pass or something that affects the game, I'm going to say that. He's like, well, you've never done that before. I'm like, well, I just told you I'd do it. There's a reason why. And he went on for a good 20 minutes about how tough his sons have had it working in living in Nashville. And I don't know what they've been through. I don't know what they go through. It's tough on them moving here from Columbus. And he's just going on and on and on. He goes, I'm thinking maybe it's something you got against me. I'm like, Kirk, I've never met you. I've never even seen you. I didn't know. Your kid dropped a pass. I mean, that was the thing. He was wide open in the end zone and only had like 3 highlights of a game. He's like, well, would you have shown that if that was Tom Smith's kid? It's like, yeah. It's just in the end zone,
I hate Tom.
I didn't have much.
Yeah.
Tom Smith, Tom?
Tom's and a dick.
He works hard, damn it.
So he just, that was it. And I tell people, in my 20 plus years of covering high school football for TV, I've had one parent call me.
That's Kirk Herbstreit. And it's so wild that it's the guy who literally works in TV and does work with college football, which is just the next level up from high school football. Like you would think if anyone understood it the most, it would be him.
He's the best.
I know.
I've told him.
I love him too. I love Kirk Herbstreit. And that'd be like calling him after college game day and being like, hey, why'd you do that? I mean, literally have a segment called Come On Man or whatever, or not
something like exactly. Like, for example, this Austin,
you had one job as the segment where it's like it's just
you're playing Franklin High School, you're wide open the end zone for Brentwood, and you drop a pass and your team loses 10-7. I'm showing that highlight. You dropped a pass.
Well, first of all, Joe, let's be honest, Joe. Like, I would not have dropped the pass to begin.
Good call. Yeah. Hypotheticals.
Yeah. Hey,
that's what we do here.
Yeah. Hey, read it in a week.
Hypotheticals.
Kirk Herbstreit, Jerry Stackhouse. I'm worried that we may fall on the wayside here in your media beefs. You may have too many media beefs.
Oh yeah, maybe we should get Kirk Herbstreit as our media beef.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got any more of those videos of his kids dropping passes?
I mean, and his kids going on. I think they play at Clemson, and their one's going to Ohio State. Good. I mean, I'm a dad. Good for them.
Yeah.
That's great. But
yeah, no thanks to you, Joe.
Yeah. When I left the game, they were down 7-3. They could have won the game. They ended up winning the game, which is great, but I'm never going to call anybody and do that. It was just the odd. And I'm so glad I had a guy come to my office and listen to the entire conversation just so, like, Joe's not going crazy. Because I have gone crazy, but.
Yeah. Look, despite Nashville media only airing their worst plays, they somehow got Division I scholarships. So, really, the Herbstreit brothers deserve all the praise in the world.
They do.
Hey, Joe, you're the man, dude. Thanks so much for doing this. We appreciate you taking the time, especially during Jeopardy. We apologize for eating into Jeopardy time, but we love you. You are one of the greatest in Nashville media. I'm just getting this all out now in case we do start the beef. we'll say much nastier things after that. But yeah, you're the cutest, cuddliest, most friendly media
best
person.
Best snow driver.
Best
thank you.
Snow driver. The probably the best high school football player in the history of Middle Tennessee. Dare I say? Am I going?
It's up there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. McGavick, what's the Generals?
McGavick. The Raiders.
The Raiders.
McGavick. Now you've made me mad. Also, real quick, tonight that TV show The Young Rock comes on
are
NBC.
Is there someone that plays Joe Dubin in there?
There, I don't know yet. We're gonna find out. But if McGavick's not in that show, I'll be furious.
Okay,
you should be. Are you
another media beef?
Who would play young Joe Dubin in the Rock TV show?
Oh, it would be that guy from The Big Bang Theory, the big nerdy guy.
What's the Sheldon?
Sheldon, that's it. Yeah,
I was thinking more of him. Danny DeVito.
you go the complete opposite of what you expect. So you put Sheldon in there to do that.
No, who is the former governor of Minnesota? Jesse
Ventura.
That's who I'd get to play you.
You know, I get all the time when I'm around town is that, like in summertime, I'm wearing a hat or something. I get that Farmer Charlie guy from Farm Bureau.
FBITN. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I get that all the time. The time.
Well, hey, Joe, we love you to death. Guys, give him a follow at Big Joe on the Go. TN.
Please don't.
Watch him on WSMV channel, News Channel 4. He's just so cute, just a darling, literally a media darling. He gets that. He gets
19 that. Years.
19 years running. We're going for 20 straight.
Yeah.
That is if Jack and I don't get it first. So, Joe, dude, thanks so much, man. And you're the best, dude.
See you, boys.
Thanks, Big Joe.
There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle. Tennessee has pulled a miracle.
Shout out, Big Joe. Just the best. Love that dude. I could literally talk to him forever and ever. Amen. Joe, thank you for joining, dude. I don't even know why I'm still talking to him. He's not on the show anymore.
Mr. Joe.
Hey, yeah, thanks, Joe. We love you, Joe. Love you so much, Joe. Isaiah Wilson, I think it's time we have this discussion. Obviously, things have been just kind of wonky the past.
Which discussion are we having this time? I feel like we've had it all about Isaiah Wilson.
No, that's true. It's a good point. So John Robinson brought him up at the press. Well, he didn't bring him up, but he was asked about him at the press conference. And John Robinson basically said he hasn't spoken to him since he went on the reserve non-football injury list. And basically said, like, the team did a lot of pre-draft work on him, and they visited with him and spoke to him and many sources and people that were close to him. And he said, and I quote, "For whatever reason, the player that was in Nashville this fall wasn't the same guy we met before the draft." Now, look, let he who hasn't dated a extremely attractive girl only to find out she's a complete psycho cast the first stone. Like I feel like we all know, like, there are ways where you can maybe you have a job, maybe you own a company, and you interview someone and they come in and they seem great, you hire them, and then you realize that they're a complete sleazeball and they are stealing staplers from the supply closet. Like,
mm-hmm. You miss, you can't get
it happens
all
the time. And you know, the NFL at the base of it is a business, and that happened to the Titans. The Titans basically found out the hard way that the guy that they put their necks on the line for is not the guy that they thought he was.
Yeah. Whether it's dating, finding the right, you know, stapler, like you mentioned, there's so many other just areas of life. You're not going to get everything right. And when you turn it to drafting an NFL talent in the first round, that's one of the most difficult jobs to have. So you're going to miss. You're not going to hit all of these out of the park. But the Titans missed big on Isaiah Wilson. At least it sure looks that way after one season.
Yeah, and that's not just referring to his size either.
No, it's not. It's a big swing and a miss. Robinson said, quote, "He's going to have to make a determination if he wants to play pro football. That's on him." That is damning to me. Saying that he, you know, they haven't spoken since they put him on the NFI list, the not non-football illness list.
he's got to make a determination whether or not he wants to play pro football. This is a year removed from you selecting him in the first round. And Isaiah Wilson has shown time and time again that he doesn't give a damn about the team. You've heard veterans speak. He's just got to listen to the veterans. He's got to listen to us. You know, he's got to make the right decisions. You talk about the party at TSU where he got busted, doing the donuts, the DUI. I mean, there's so many instances where he just was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it's so you do that once. Okay, I get it. Twice, maybe three times. And then you carry yourself on social media like, hey, no big deal. Nothing's happening.
Yeah.
That's alarming to me. And then on his birthday, when he posts this on his story, which is definitely not alarming at all, he said, this is a very normal post to post on your birthday on your Instagram story, which I've since, and the podcast has since been blocked on Instagram from. In case of any local or federal investigation by any department, entity, or anything similar, I do not have any involvement in drugs or sales of drugs, nor partake in any involvement in street crime. This account is strictly for entertainment. What the absolute hell?
Yeah, Jack, I don't know what you're talking about. That's extremely alarming. That's not something that people tend to post on their birthdays.
Were you
being sarcastic earlier when you said that?
You never posted anything like that on your birthday?
I'm going to have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure I haven't. I'll have to wait for my birthday to come up and fit my Facebook memories to remind me if I have or not. But no, yeah.
The train is off the tracks.
I think Joe Dubin hit the nail on the head when he said John Robinson's not going to cut Isaiah Wilson. It's just not going to happen.
Do you think he should?
No. Honestly, I don't. I don't think so yet. I think you do have to see what you can get out of this guy. And hopefully there's some redemption story. I know that's there's more hope in that than there was for Vic Beasley to have a good year. But you don't just cut your first round draft pick after only a year, even with all of the troubles and things he's had. Now, look. And I've wondered this since the donut arrest on Charlotte Avenue early in the season. I feel like there's a mental health issue there, and I don't know that to be true at all. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I remember early on he posted something to Instagram and he took it down right away, but it said something about like wanting to end it all. And
there's been some definitely scary. There's a scary side to that as well.
And so I wonder, I'm a big proponent and advocate for mental health and mental health awareness. And I feel like what he's going through needs to be handled with caution. And I'm hoping that the Titans can reach out to him and get him right. Get him either talking to a counselor or whatever it may be. Figure out what the cause is there. Whether he plays another snap with the Titans or not, I think just on a personal level, like on a human level,
you're right.
Yeah, get out there and help him. But you're right. Like it's a huge swing and a miss. And on a football, which I think you can set all of the human side stuff aside for right now, just for this part of the conversation on a football level, it sucked. It has been terrible and has been the worst possible thing that you could imagine out of your first round draft pick. And I don't know. It does sound like there was some frustration there from John Robinson. And it does sound like they are very close to cutting ties. And
this offseason, man, I don't know if he's on the roster week one. I agree with you in the fact that I don't think you cut Wilson now. I'm going to be a little harder on him than you were, though.
Sure.
Wilson's 6'6 and 350 pounds. He is a football coach's dream of a right tackle. The skills may be raw and he may not be ready yet. But from a mental standpoint, you knew he was a project physically. But from a mental standpoint, it hasn't ever worked. But I want to ask this question because it's been a year. And we've seen how his behavior has continued down, you know, the same path. Oh, I don't care. Like, I'm an NFL player. Look at my bio. And Robinson referred to that in the press conference. How do you help somebody who doesn't want to even help themselves, who can't even help themselves, who doesn't seem to be wanting any advice from anybody who's been there, done that, got the hat. How do you help that person? It's becoming, a situation where maybe setting him free would help him the most. But for the Titans, look, the NFL's a business. You know, there's so many examples of players who have had struggles with mental health and all this during career, pre-career, post-career. The tragic news of Vincent Jackson was a topic this weekend, which shocked a lot of football fans, and obviously can go really wrong. But when you're talking about Isaiah Wilson and just his career as a Titan, 4 snaps, a whole lot of drama, a whole lot of headaches, and a whole lot of unanswered questions. I think you give him this camp, and if he doesn't completely flip script and his attitude changes, you know, his body language changes, how he interacts with people changes, how he's careful of not posting stupid stuff on Instagram, whether it's selling Hellcats, which is up now, or, you know, partying on boats on New Year's during the football season. It's just so many things have to be changed, and I don't know that he can do it in one off season.
Yeah.
And I think that's as much time as he has. I think he's on borrowed time.
Honestly, I hate life. I'm effing up. I'm making mistakes. I'm not myself. That's what he posted last, I believe this was September, on the night he got arrested.
How long can you afford to keep him if you're John?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You give them this offseason. You see if there's that want on his side, because you're right, it does have to be on his side. And then, yeah, and then if it's not there, then yeah, I think maybe in camp is when you do look to cut him if that's the route you're going to go.
6'6", 350. Man, I'll say this: see that work.
We know firsthand that he's great at blocking. Because apparently he blocked us on Instagram, and we have no idea why.
He's at least good at blocking, you know, scrawny little podcast fanboys. So.
Hey, look, it's more than he's blocked to anyone else this season. So
4 snaps, Austin. 4 snaps.
Yeah, it's true, I guess. So Isaiah, look, we're pulling for you, I guess. We want you to get out of this rut, and I'm hoping that you can just get right, and then ultimately unblock us on Instagram.
Everything has an expiration date though, and yeah, tired of waiting around.
Jack and I spend way too much time on social media, and that's important to us. Pac-Man Jones was arrested. We talked about this with Joe, and Pac-Man Jones is arrested. Talk about being haunted by ghosts.
From one rap sheet to another. Isaiah Wilson to Pac-Man Jones.
Pac-Man, dude, it was like a little blast from the past hearing Pac-Man being arrested. It felt like he was back in Nashville again. This guy's got a bit of a rap sheet. Any of you aren't familiar, if you're a new Titans fan, you don't remember when Pac-Man was with the Titans, he's got a rap sheet.
Stick around a few more minutes and I'll read you off some of these ridiculous things that he's done. I mean, Joe said it, you know, he could have been one of the best returners to ever do it. The talent when he was, you know, on the Titans was evident. They couldn't keep him throughout his rookie deal. I mean, talk about a guy who really doesn't give a damn, who gets in fights anytime he goes out. I mean, do you want me to read off this rap sheet he has?
Yes, please. We did this once before on this podcast with Kenny Britt, right?
Kenny Britt, yeah. This one triples Kenny Britt's. So this one spans from 03 to Monday this week. Let's get into it. 2003, while enrolled at West Virginia, he beats a man in a bar with a pool cue, receives 2 years probation.
Classic.
July 2005, 2 weeks before training camp, is accused of felony vandalism and assault at a nightclub, where he punched the venue's owner and broke his $400,000 necklace. Charges were eventually dismissed. I assume payments were handled outside of that without the... But a $400,000 necklace, like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
March 06, marijuana possession in Georgia. That is...
Oh, that's... I mean... That,
look, that's nothing compared to what we're about to get into.
That's like a grain of salt.
August of 2006, 6 months probation after suspension or after a suspicion of public intox and disorderly conduct at a Murfreesboro nightclub. Two things here. There can't be more than one Murfreesboro nightclub. So you guys in the borough, you probably know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, at a Murfreesboro. No, it should be at the Murfreesboro nightclub.
And also, the amount of probation he's been given. I mean, this is going to make what the Vols get look like just a long weekend.
Yeah. And look, no offense to Murfreesboro. I love Murfreesboro. But if you're going to a nightclub in Murfreesboro,
something's up.
I mean, I think that should be against the law. Something's like, if you're that close to Nashville and you're choosing to go to the nightclub in Murfreesboro, like, yeah, you deserve to end your
night. Hey, you never know. Maybe Murfreesboro's got some good eggs and legs. You just don't know. Maybe he sticks around for the breakfast.
That's true.
Okay, next. October of 06. Spit at a college-aged female at a Nashville nightclub upgrade, cited for misdemeanor assault. Now, when I read this, I immediately thought back to our John Glennon interview where he went undercover at Karma. We get into that with Joe, obviously, you just heard. But I wonder if that was the incident that sparked John Glennon to go undercover.
Ooh.
The world may never know. We have to get him back on to ask him about that.
Yeah, it's true. Also, if anyone knows that college-age girl that was spit on by Pac-Man, we would love to talk to her on this podcast.
We want her on this podcast.
In fact, there's no one I want more. Like, if you said, do you want Derrick Henry or the girl that was spit on by Pac-Man Jones? I would probably say, give me the girl that was spit on, because there's
we need to have one of your DraftKings small print reading at the end of every podcast. If you or a loved one has been spit on by Pac-Man Jones, we would love to get you on the Tighten Up podcast.
Yeah, call the Tennessee Red Line.
February of 07, suspended a year from the NFL after involvement at a Las Vegas strip club where a shooting left a security guard and exotic dancer paralyzed. That was the bad one. Jones had slammed the exotic dancer's head against the stage.
Yeah.
Pac-Man had to pay $11 million for some injuries that happened to there. Yeah. Pretty nasty. I think that was the Make It Rain incident. What I believe it's called. Next, January of 08, almost 12 months removed from paralyzing two people at a nightclub, punches a woman in the face at a strip club in Atlanta.
That's when you have to go back to the chalkboard and say there has been...
Look, nothing worked, guys. Game plan didn't work.
You erase the number off the board and write zero next to days since last arrest.
Days since last injury at work. Yeah, right. Maybe those are what the exotic dances at some of these strip clubs have.
Pac-Man
has come.
Bouncers at strip clubs, like, I know you guys have a hard enough job as it is trying to keep minorities out. Or not minorities, minors out. Sorry. Oh, my gosh.
What is this?
Yeah, no, sorry. Minors. Trying to keep minors out of strip clubs. Goodness gracious, what a slip. Trying to keep minors out of strip clubs. I know that job is as hard as it is. Can we add one more? Can we get you to keep Pac-Man Jones out of strip clubs too, just for the safety and well-being of everyone?
Menace to society, Pac-Man Jones, no doubt. October of 08, we move on, same year. After being picked up by the Cowboys, Jerry Jones assigns him some bodyguards.
See, Jerry knew what was up. Jerry knew what it takes to win.
Well, hold on, this line isn't finished.
Oh.
Pac-Man Jones then got into a fight with said bodyguards. And earned another year-long suspension from the NFL. Good try, Jerry. Good try. You tried your hardest. No,
you can't even protect him from himself.
The bodyguards even got their asses kicked. I mean, what can you? There's nothing you can
do. The whole point of the bodyguards is so he doesn't get in trouble.
Oh, man. Jerry Jones.
Gosh, that's the funniest thing I've ever.
Moving on to November of 2011, disorderly conduct.
That's the most Cowboys.
Isn't it the most Cowboys, though?
Of all.
November 2011, disorderly conduct and resisting arrest at a bar in Cincinnati. He tweeted on Twitter that he was just protecting himself from two women. Okay. All right, Pac-Man. January of 17, he's gone 6 years without a major incident. In Cincinnati again. He is arrested for assault, disorderly conduct, and more, eventually pleads guilty to obstructing the police. Cincinnati, Murfreesboro, Nashville, Atlanta, four cities he's all been arrested in. Back to Atlanta.
It's like a game of Risk, but just with arrests for Pac-Man. Like, soon he's going to take over the entire country.
So July of 18, he got in a fight with a worker at the Atlanta airport. I think there's a bunch of videos out of it where it looked like he actually was the victim, and Pac-Man was proved to be the victim.
Oh yeah, that was when he was punched in the face.
Pac-Man,
right?
Knocked this guy the hell out, which is much like he did on Monday, except this time he was the assailant and not the victim. Arrested and charged with misdemeanor assault. Quote on Pat McAfee's podcast, where he explained in detail what happened that night, where he was said to be defending his brother. Pac-Man says, and I quote, "I did what I needed to do."
Look,
when will Pac-Man Jones ever learn?
He did what he needed to do. Okay. Gosh, I love that. That's the funniest thing.
What a rap sheet, right?
That's in fact, okay. Let's put them together.
The Bible. So much.
You just read 66 books back to back.
Just so much there. I mean, how do you even? Oh, Pac-Man, just dude, take it easy, man.
Yeah, it was Adam, Pac-Man, Jones, and Eve. better rap sheet, Pac-Man or Kenny Britt?
Pac-Man by landslide.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's solely for the bodyguards that were hired to protect him, that he ended up getting in a fight.
The bodyguards got their asses kicked.
Like,
you know, none of them wanted that job either. They're like,
you know, like Jared Jones is like, hey guys, I need you to watch Pac-Man. He's a big investment for this ball club, and I need you to go to keep an eye on him and make sure he doesn't get in any trouble, and make sure without anything he doesn't get in any fights. Okay, if he gets in trouble, that's one thing I can handle. That I can pay off some cops. But if he gets in fights, he could get injured, and then he can't play in a football field.
Jeopardize our ball club. Can you believe that, though? Jerry Jones, Pac-Man Jones, and then Big Joe said George Jones. What's the deal? Is the deal?
Yeah, that's probably why they got along so well. They're probably related. All right. Real quick before we get out of here, Chris Doyle.
Wow. Urban Meyer. A bad judge of character. Who would have thought?
What's your favorite memory with the Chris Doyle era in Jacksonville?
I don't know. It's hard to pick since he was only there for a little over 24 hours.
Yeah. It was either like the announcement of his hiring or his resignation letter.
I liked the resignation letter better because that produced a meme I saw today of Ben Shapiro's face cropped in over Chris Doyle's as the new strength and conditioning coach in Jacksonville. So that made me laugh. But there's really, you know, Chris Doyle's a scumbag. We all knew that. Urban Meyer, some of his coaches obviously have sketchy past. You talk about Zach Smith, Doyle in Iowa, who was there for almost 20 years.
Yeah. Urban Meyer just got a quick wake up call of like, oh, hey, by the way, you used to pull in college, not going to fly. It
doesn't work anymore. Actually, the players have a choice whether to play for you or not. They're not bound to you by NCAA rules. So you don't want to lose the locker room before you step foot in it.
Exactly. Look, let this be a lesson to us all. If you're going to hire people, maybe don't hire the racists. And especially if you work in a predominantly black field, like the NFL, don't hire racists. Don't associate yourself with them at all.
When Urban Meyer was hired, I admit, you know, I was worried that the Jags would be a quick fix. But after some of these ridiculous moves he's made,
it's gonna be a while.
I'm pretty certain that the Jags will not be a worry of mine for
some time. Yeah, I think it's gonna be a little bit more of a building process than it was at Ohio State for Herbs, or Florida, either place. All right, let's get to Remember the Titan. I'll go first. My Remember the Titan this week, David Stewart. Simple. 2005 to 2013. There's one thing I love. It's Titans lifers. If there's two things I love, it's Titans lifers who played on the offensive line. And David Stewart checks both of those boxes. Second team All-Pro in 2008, not to brag. Played in 116 games with the Titans and started all of them. That's pretty damn impressive. My favorite offensive lineman stat, fumbles recovered. He had 5. He became the starting right tackle in 2006, replacing Michael Ruse, who was moved to left tackle and was part of an offensive line that spearheaded the fifth-ranked rushing attack in the NFL.
That was a badass unit.
Remember back in the day when we were like, man, Titans had the fifth-ranked rushing attack, and we were like, that's pretty good. Like, that's, we were so cute back then, you know?
Look at us. Just now figuring out what a nice little rush attack was. And then here we are in 2020.
Like, oh, 2021 now. Yeah, our rushing attack was up to fifth now. Now it's like, look, anything less than first, it's not going to fly. As of February 2009, Stewart made 45 consecutive starts at right tackle for the Titans, including all 16 games over the past two seasons. He was a member of an offensive line that has allowed an NFL low 12 quarterback sacks in 2008 and was named to the 2008 All-Pro second team. Jack, one thing I want to say, and this, I was thinking about this while I was putting together David Stewart from my Remember the Titan. We should not take for granted the Titans having a good offensive line. Because if you have a team that has a bad offensive line,
you don't have a chance. Look at Russell Wilson.
It hinders everything, not just your rushing game, but your passing game as well. And it's like, it makes you uneasy as a fan. Just coming straight at it from a fan perspective, like when you have a bad offensive line, every time your quarterback drops back to pass, you're just thinking, that's the only thing you're thinking about. You're like, well, is he going to have enough time to get a pass off? And that hasn't been a care or a concern for the Titans in a long time. And I do think we need to recognize that the Titans have a good offensive line right now. And it's nice. You know, it's one of those things that you don't think about until you have to think about it.
That's true. It's very unappreciated. Unappreciated. I don't know why I shortened that word.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my Remember the Titan is courtesy of a Tupper. Eldon English, Shrike.
Shout out, Eldon. He's a big Tupper. And
it's a great one. Quinton Ganther, Quinton Roy Ganther.
Oh, yes. Let's go.
Out of Utah, drafted by the Titans in the seventh round of 06. And we were just talking about, he didn't really do much for the Titans, you know. He's mainly special teams guy. He finished his Titans career with 9 carries, 61 yards, a long of 22. Let's see here. 6 catches, 43 yards, all in the 2008 season where they only allowed 12 sacks. But that is not why he is the focus today. We just got done talking about Urban Meyer. Well, on February 4th, almost 2 weeks ago today, 2021, Quinton Ganther was hired by the Jacksonville Jaguars as the offensive quality control coach.
Wait, hang on. Offensive or offensive?
Sorry, I'm reading quick.
Well, no. I wouldn't be surprised either way.
It's really both. Yeah. Hired by the Jacksonville Jaguars as the offensive quality control coach under head coach Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
So is he a traitor? Do we label Quinton Ganther as a traitor?
See, and that's a good question. I'm glad you brought that up because Kevin Mawai was hired by the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah, so I don't know.
I can't call Kevin Mawai a traitor. He was just...
I don't think I can either. That's tough.
However, Quinton Ganther, I have really no issue with calling him a traitor. I'll be upfront about that.
Well, and he is an offensive guy, so offensive lineman. So
can you imagine controlling the quality of the Jaguars' offense?
I couldn't.
That's imagine a steep controlling... task. I wouldn't wish that on anyone, especially Quinton Ganther.
I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy. Trying to control the quality of anything in Duval County. All right. That's going to do it for us. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate all of you. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Whether you liked us or not, you just hit that subscribe button. Then, you know, you don't have to worry about us anymore. I mean, we'll still show up in your feed because you hit the subscribe button, but we'll appreciate it. It'll be a nice parting gift on your way out the door. You guys are the best. Follow at A to Z Sports on all things social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Check out Austin and Zach in the mornings. They do a great job every single morning, weekday morning. Check out Buck in the evenings. He does an awesome job as well. Got a lot of cool things going on with A to Z Sports.
Alan Bell, Brian Edwards.
Alan Bell, Brian Edwards.
Look, if you like gambling, tune in. They got a show every day.
Seriously, guys, if you're not getting on this A to Z train, like, what are you doing? Are you a loser? I think you're a loser. So don't be a loser and get on the AZ train. And hit up Jack on Twitter at Jack A Gentry. You can find me on Twitter at Austin Huff. hit up the show on Twitter at Tighten Up Pod. Follow the show on Instagram at Tighten Up Podcast. Don't block us on Instagram like Isaiah Wilson did. And yeah, that's all I got. Jack, you got anything for the road?
If you or a loved one have been spit on by Pac-Man Jones, please contact the Tighten Up Podcast for an immediate interview.
Oh, I, or if you guys know the bodyguards that Pac-Man Jones beat up that were literally hired to prevent him from getting in fights, if you could have them give us a call as well on Tennessee Redline, we'd love to get them on this podcast as well. That would make for one hell of an interview. Hey, how about them Cowboys? All right, we're gonna get out of here on that note. I guess with that said, tighten up.
They're the Tennessee Titans. They'll keep on fighting all the way.